Oh, nobody said.
Dude, I think that's the perfect start to the
It was
pod.
Easy.
Dude, are we actually starting like that?
I kind of want to.
If that ends up there, that's hilarious.
Oh.
I guess that, I guess I'm just excited to be here.
Yeah, man. Michael, you want
to talk about what we're doing right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, should we tell them or should we?
Yeah, yeah. I am in a studio recording class at NYU. It's my one in-person class, so I have access to a professional grade recording studio.
It is nice.
It's really cool in here. Aiden and I noodled around a bit this morning. Just, that's what it's called, dude. Just noodling. So
you say doodling?
Noodling.
Okay. All right, that's what
so,
I
said. So we played some piano, record each other a bit, just messed around, and then now we're using the space to record our podcast. This kind of brings me back to, if you guys are old listeners, we did
one of the OGs.
Yeah, one of the OG episodes on YouTube.
Should I close that door, by the way?
No, I think it's okay.
All right,
letting sound in and out's not bad. And so,
all right, okay.
We recorded one of the first episodes for YouTube, took a video in that little sound suite.
That was terrible.
Well, it was, yeah. And that was, I think, the last episode before we went home, right? For Corona.
Sadly, yes.
So now we're back. We're back in
the
space.
We're back to our peak sound quality.
That's right.
Right.
And so we've got a couple good mics. We got some Shure mics. And
I feel like literally every famous podcaster.
Everyone has the mic that
the Shure
that Aiden's using.
The
right
Shure.
Now. Everyone's got it for their podcast. Welcome back to End of the Stuff Podcast. Thank you for listening today. How are you doing, Aiden?
Doing pretty solid. Let me just say it is so cold outside, man. And like I know it's supposed to warm up, like I think later this week it's supposed to be like in the 60s. Like high 60s, I think. I think I looked this morning, it's supposed to be like 68, even though it's like 25 today, which was truly sad. Like,
yeah.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I walked here and I was like crying. Not because like I was sad, but just like the wind.
It was windy yesterday.
Yeah, it was super windy. What else? I remember I was on my walk here and something happened and I was like, that'd be funny to talk about. Now I forget. Oh, yeah. On my way here, I stopped for a coffee. Now that I think about it, this probably isn't that funny, but
but tell it anyway.
On my way here, I stopped for coffee because, if I don't have coffee before, like, 11, then I just start to get a headache, which probably isn't good for me, but it's
maybe
my
it's
body.
Coffee that did that to you.
Body, yeah. It is coffee that did it to me, but it's my body telling me that I haven't had the thing that I have every morning, you know? So I stopped on my way here. I'm not going to call out the place where I went and got it. I didn't even tell Michael, so I'm just keeping it, you know, on the down low.
Yeah.
But I stopped and got a coffee somewhere, got a cold brew, asked for just a little bit of milk, just to dial it back a little bit, you know.
They just power washed
and
it with milk?
No. They, like, well, I was anticipating they would put a little bit more milk in than what they did.
Oh.
They literally just, like, went... They just like, if you could pick up just like a drop of milk and drop it in, that's what they did.
They used an eyedropper to put it in.
They used an eyedropper. And really, just like the cold brew in general, just not good. Like, starting the day off with just a bad coffee, that's just really heartbreaking.
What a shame.
And like, I would have made the coffee in my place, you know, and because I know what I'm getting, you know, but I ran out of time, and I have a to-go cup for the coffee, but I was like, oh, it's going to be so cold, and having to hold my hand out the whole walk was going to be really challenging, so I just decided to suck it up and
get a bad cup of coffee.
Get a bad cup of coffee, I guess. It's really tragic starts of the day, but then I got here with Michael, and just things went exponentially better.
That means a lot. no, we're just here having fun. We're talking about what we announced last week, the Lego movie.
Let's go.
And again, at the end of this episode, Aiden's going to announce the movie that he's picked for next week, which by his face right now, he still doesn't know. I could always announce what I'm going to pick, even though this will be my second movie in a row, but no pressure. Just be thinking about it.
We'll work through the process for the listeners.
Exactly. You guys will be here to know what it's like to.
Too bad we don't have like an live audience. Then I could like, you know, like gauge kind of what people are feeling.
That's interesting. But do any podcasts have live audiences?
I'm sure that there's like
specials where they do.
Yeah,
it sometimes.
But I'm sure that there's like shows. Like I know, like one that I'm thinking of is like the Dan Le Batard show.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
And they
yeah,
do
with a
like
live audience.
An actual like radio kind of podcast, show, whatever, yeah. And then they put it on the podcast thing. And they do have like Twitter polls and things like that. I don't know that our follower base is that big to be able to run Twitter polls and get. Like,
I think
a good
it would
response,
be,
but
our family sitting in the audience if yeah. there was an audience.
Yeah,
and if
but,
they all lived in New York.
Yeah, but they have like they can like call in because they're at, like an actual show.
Right.
And they do stuff live and
right.
then they just upload it later. But yeah, I guess whenever we finish talking about the Lego movie, which chef's kiss.
Yeah. And we'll have time because Aiden and I both didn't take very many notes on this one and we weren't exactly sure why, but we kind of just watched the movie and ended up not taking very many notes. So we
yeah.
don't know how long this conversation is going to be, but we talked about last week when we talked about Uncut Gems that we were going to get a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah.
And this was the perfect movie, I think, to do that. And, yeah, Aiden, just to get into it, I guess, how many times have you seen this movie?
You know, I have not seen it in a very long time, actually.
Okay.
And that's why I was kind of excited when you picked it, just because, like, I remember watching it. I think it was, like, 2014 when it came out.
That's what's nuts.
Yeah.
I was 13 years old when it came out. I'm
I know,
20 now.
I know. That's crazy. And, like, I remember when it came out, I actually, like, didn't watch it myself. And my brother, Cole, who's 4 years older than me. So when I was 13, he was 17. And he was like, oh, yeah, it's a good movie. And I was like, 17-year-old says that like an animated Lego movie is good.
Yeah.
And so then I watched it and, you know, lo and behold, it was actually
it
really
was
good.
Really good.
And I hadn't seen it in probably like 4 years, I would say.
Yeah.
But it's pretty solid.
I think it's been at least a couple years for me. I think I watch it every couple years. Like I watched it in 2014 when it came out. Probably watched it like 2016, 2018, 2020. I think so it's been a
2021.
My bad. But yeah, it's been a while for me too. But it makes sense that you said that like Cole liked the movie at 17 because it doesn't feel like a kid's movie
mm-hmm.
in the way that, well, it's something I wanted to talk about, but you know, I would put this in the realm of like Into the Spider-Verse of like animated movies that transcend, like, oh, that's just another Pixar movie.
Yeah.
I was talking about this, I think, with you and some other people where, like, animation's kind of brushed off as a whole genre, where it's, like, it's all lumped in with Disney and Pixar movies. And there's nothing wrong with Pixar movies. Like, so many Pixar movies are amazing. But animation's kind of turned into its own genre when
mm-hmm.
it's, like, there are so many different genres within animation. And every once in a while, an animated movie comes out where everyone freaks out about it. Spider-Verse was the most recent example of
mm-hmm.
that, you know, where it wasn't a Pixar movie. And everyone was like, wow, that's up there with, like, all the other Marvel movies that we love. And, like, even above that, you know. So, Lego Movie was definitely that for me as well. And upon seeing it, I was like, no way. Because I was also, not to go on too much of a tangent, but I was also a kid who watched other Lego movies when I was really little. Like, Clutch Powers, like Lego Batman and Superman stuff.
I remember, I don't know if this was the Lego movie, but I remember you just reminded me of like this, I don't even remember what it was about or anything, but I remember, this is bothering me now. Sorry, continue talking.
A distant memory. No. It's just like, I watched all these like Lego brand things. I think Warner Bros. Made Lego Movie, right? Wasn't it Warner Bros? Because they had all the rights
sure.
to DC and they had Star Wars in there. Like, I think it was Warner.
I'll look it up while you're talking.
Yeah, whoever did it did a good job compared to, like, movies that were made straight by Lego rather than just licensed by Lego. So I remember watching, like, Clutch Powers and Batman and Superman Lego movies when I was little. And they're, you know, they're fun and you like them when they're little, but they're not good. And, you know, they're not that creative. And I don't really know how to explain it, but the Lego movie was just a step up.
It is Warner Bros.
Okay, great.
Yep. Kind of going off that, you kind of touched on the Pixar films and how, like, you know, every few years or whatever, there's an animated film that kind of transcends all other animated films. And I don't know if that's necessarily, like, I guess in my mind, I was thinking of it as, like, almost like every Pixar movie, like, animated movie is almost the same. Not, like, roasting them or anything for, like, yeah, they all look the same, blah, 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 and it's, like, a heartwarming story or whatever. Because, sure, like, that's Disney's thing. They're, yeah, like, family-friendly, heartwarming stories, whatever. But, like, I mean, if you... it's interesting because I'm actually taking a class for my new minor, Business of Entertainment, Media, and Technology. The class is Entertainment and Media Industries.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've spent, like, the past few weeks talking about the film industry. And it's really interesting looking at, like, obviously Disney, like, reigns superior in the film industry.
Yeah.
Because they have hold over...
They have a very wide cast.
Yeah, Avengers, yeah. Star Wars.
ESPN.
Yeah, ESPN.
Nat Geo? Or is it Discovery? One of those.
Yeah, one of those.
They got a Nature Channel, a sports.
Yeah.
Everything.
But, like, if you look at the box office and, like, the highest grossing films, I think, like, in the top 10 highest grossing films of all time, like, 6 of them are Disney's.
Sure.
And that's just insane. Anyway, like, yeah, they kind of spit out a few animated films every year, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a few that kind of are, like, better.
Yeah.
And I normally don't watch that many animated films. But if you just, like, look at it, like, Frozen, obviously, like, I'm pretty sure that's in the top 10 of highest grossing films.
Yeah.
I know that Soul released, mm-hmm, late 2020. I haven't seen it. I heard that it was really good.
Yeah.
Roommate John Mills, shout out John. Yeah. Really loves, yeah, Soul. And, you know, like, Toy Story and Cars and all those, you know, those are, like,
quintessential.
Yeah, those are, like, the animation films.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's other ones, like, it's hard to think of non-important
but, like,
ones.
Like, but, like, I think of, like, I never saw Moana. I never saw Toy Story 4. Never saw Dory.
Mm.
I never saw... I watched Monsters University. There's just some that I skip,
mm-hmm,
because I look at them and I know they're going to be...
They're just milking it for money a little bit?
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe. But but then again, it's like you... I remember watching Inside Out, not going in thinking it was going to be a great movie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, another Pixar movie, I'll go. Because I think I went with my family and it was... Inside Out's amazing. And so I do think that there's a certain stigma to... Like you said, you're like, I don't watch very many. I'm sorry, I'm being distracted by like, I think there is something about animated movies where I look at it and I'm like, don't need to go see that. Whereas, like, if that was live action, I'd be like, oh wow, interesting concept.
Mm.
But because it's like another Pixar movie, I don't want to. Yeah. But then, like, an animation that comes out that isn't Pixar, like Spider-Verse, the Lego movie. I remember, like, wasn't it Kubo and the Two Strings?
I have no idea.
Yeah, like, I went to see that, and I was like, man, I really want to see that. But, like, yeah, anyway, the Lego movie is literally a genre of its own, I'd say. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I would like to wrap
up that animation Disney thing. Just, like... you know, again, I'm not trying to roast, but, like, I would say that Pixar's animations all kind of look the same, you know, but that's,
yeah,
like, just the technology and the way that, like, it works, whatever. And, you know, with the different storylines, they're able to make it look different, and things like that. You know, it's weird because, like, Toy Story 4, I don't know if that was just, like, a fan service thing or if that was them trying to get more money out of it because there's still potential there.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either.
And I love Toy Story.
Yeah. I've actually been considering watching it recently, but I just, like, haven't gotten around to it. Because I honestly don't want to be disappointed.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. But we'll hop back into the Lego movie.
Yeah. I guess to start, we're talking about Pixar movies and how all their animation's a bit similar. I wouldn't say it's the same because it does vary. They just released a trailer for a new movie, and it's very, very different.
Is that the
Italy one with the two boys that like are also sea creatures?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Anyway, the Lego movie, the animation's incredible. Like, it's some of the most amazing animation I've seen, I think. And I think, again, like comparing it to Spider-Verse, that was something where the animation blew people away. And the animation was used so creatively, you know, like in changes of frame rate, making it look like a comic book, different stuff like that in Spider-Verse. The use of Legos in the Lego movie was insane.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it with my sister last night. She had never seen it before. And she's watching it. She's like, this isn't stop motion, right? Which, for those of you that don't know, stop motion is like taking a picture of a Lego, moving him a little bit, taking another picture, moving the piece a little bit, taking another picture. And that's like a very old form of animation. It's still done today, though. But no, the Lego movie isn't stop motion, but everything animated in the Lego movie is photorealistic. And my sister was like, why are there imperfections in the Legos? And that's something so interesting. They added scratches
mm-hmm.
to the Lego pieces. They added imperfections to the paint on their faces and yep. on their clothes to make them look so real. And that was so cool to me that they make it look so real. And I think this leads me to another point. I don't know if you have anything to say about that.
Yeah, I just wrote down, you know, attention to detail is
insane. It's above and beyond.
Like, literally in the opening scene with, like, the lava, pan or whatever, yeah. like, you can literally see, like, on the bottom of the Lego pieces, it has, like, the serial number
yeah.
and, like, the word Lego and the copyright logo or something. And I was like, that is unreal.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it would have taken forever to do this, but at the same time, like, it probably didn't take forever. Like, they were probably just like...
Oh. I mean, there's a lot of work that went into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, definitely.
In addition to, like, literal stuff like that, there's also just, in every scene, always something happening in the background. There's always a Lego minifig in the background doing something stupid. And it's so funny, like, the amount of work that they put into that.
Yeah.
And how detailed the environments are.
Mm-hmm.
What I was going to say about the animation was, I know that there was a special program. I'm speaking in very simple terms because I don't know much about it, about animation or CGI in general, but there's a special software that they used to raise the dynamic range of the lights and colors of the image. Because our eyes are very, very good at seeing dynamic range. And what that means is I'm able to look at the corner of this room in the very dark and make out textures on the walls. I'm also able to look at some piece of the wall that's right in front of a light bulb and make out those textures.
Mm-hmm.
And so the eye is really good at doing that. Cameras are really bad at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And the higher the dynamic range, the more expensive the camera because it gets closer to the human eye. We're really bad at seeing color. We cannot differentiate between the red on a cherry and a red on a Coca-Cola can.
Mm.
But this movie does both really well. This software allowed there to be really deep dynamic range between shadows and lights, so deep that it's beyond what an actual camera can do. You know, the scenes at the end with Will Ferrell in that surround real people literally aren't as high of dynamic range as the animation is.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the color is even up to par in the animated sequences as well. So like that just added to another point that I have, which is that what I didn't realize the first couple times watching this and what I realize now is that technically the whole movie is live action in a way. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's animated, and yes, like the characters' faces are animated, but every Lego piece in the movie is photorealistic, and there's real world objects in the animated parts, like the Band-Aid,
mm-hmm.
the Titleist ball,
yeah.
the Kraggle, which is a bottle of crazy glue. Those objects are all photorealistic. And I realized that when he first gets the piece of resistance at the beginning of the movie, he grabs it from a pile of like dried glue. And that glue is like photorealistic as well. It's not animated looking. And so the whole movie technically is live action because everything is meant to look real. And I just found that super, super interesting and something that I just didn't notice before. But the world does branch between reality and the Lego world, and they really just cross those two things really well, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, the whole, like as you get deeper in the movie, you find out that, like, President Business or Lord Business or whatever mm-hmm. is actually, like, Will Ferrell, yeah. like the father. And, you know, there's the son, and he's trying to, like, make this really fun world of all the Legos in the basement that are his dad's. And it's interesting how, like, I mean, essentially there's, like, the Lord Business / Emmett dynamic, and it's directly the same as the father-son
yeah,
dynamic.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. And, like, towards the end, you know, I don't know what you would call that technically, like breaking the fourth wall. Mm-hmm. Like, we're in a world and then it just, like, scopes out and we're in a different world that includes the same world in it. And
it's very creatively done.
Yeah, yeah. And so whenever you reach that point, you wonder, like you start thinking back on the entire movie and how the son is basically, like, everything that's happening in the movie is just the son's imagination.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, I mean, it's super genius. Like,
yeah,
just like the thought of this nobody, you know, stumbling upon the cap to a crazy glue because his dad wants to glue everyone down. So it's, like, super picturesque and, like, you know,
idealistic.
Right. And so, like, the son, you know, with the cap to the crazy glue and traveling through the world and, like, going to this cloud world where there's Shaquille O'Neal and
Superman and
Superman and Batman.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, and all these Green Lantern, which is, like, one of the funniest characters, yeah. I thought.
Voiced by Jonah Hill.
Yeah. And it's just, like, so genius, just, honestly, like, just to base the entire plot of the film off of a child's imagination.
Right.
Not that, like, you know, that kid that was in the film was, like, came in and was like, oh, this is it, you know, but, like, just writing it in a way that a kid would imagine it to be.
Right. No, absolutely. And you see glimpses in the dialogue of, like, imagining it the way a kid would, like, as if they're playing with Legos. I can't think of any examples right now, but the writing is so well done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I was sitting there, and I think children's writing. Also, shout out John Mills,
yeah,
dramatic writing major who's focusing on children's TV. Is yep. that correct? And he's talked a bit about, like, writing for children, but, you know, there's this kind of phenomenon, if you can even call it that, of, like, adults liking kids' TV. Like, Adventure Time is something I think of as, like, a big kid show that, you know, teenagers and up like as well. And I think that also happens with movies. I think there's multiple ways to go about that. You have, like, SpongeBob, where it's, like, the dialogue, it's not, I wouldn't call it adult, but, like, there are adult jokes in it, you know, and it's still entertaining for adults and children. But I think that the Lego movie does that at times, not really in the way that there are adult jokes, but it's still entertaining for adults. I think sometimes because of how stupid the jokes are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's times when something so dumb happens that I couldn't help but laugh.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, random. My sister described it as surreal, where something so strange would happen in the movie. You're just like, why did that happen? There's a scene when Metalbeard starts dancing and singing. He, like, turns himself into that, like, puppet. Remember that?
Maybe.
He's like, how about this? And he starts, like, singing and dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like, what? Why is that happening? There's so many moments like that where it's just so stupid that it's so funny. And it's like, this is... It was so self-aware. There was just a self-awareness to the writing and, like, just to what it was that, like, really they nailed it, and they nailed just it being entertaining for everyone. And I think that just went a long way, and, like, it being a great movie.
Yeah. One that I can think, like, just like almost like a child's joke, if you will, that kind of carries over into a joke for adults, I guess. One that I think of is whenever Emmett and Wild Style are in the Wild West, and Emmett is like, has no idea about the prophecy or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, could you, okay, I know what a master builder is or whatever, but just in case I don't, or just in case, I'll have you explain it and I'll see if you're right. And like, that was like, I audibly laughed when it happened. And then like, you know, while she's explaining it, he like zones out because he has this massive crush on her, and
that, yeah,
just like changes up all the words. And then she finishes talking and he goes, got it. Now,
just in case,
could you say it all again? Cause I wasn't listening. And like, that's definitely something that like a child's imagination, like, you know,
yeah,
that's something that would happen. And it was still funny. Like, you know, I'm 19 and that was still funny for me.
And the romance between Wild Style and Batman feels very middle schoolish.
Yeah.
Cause she always says, I have a boyfriend. We're very serious.
That's true.
And like stuff like that. And it's just like, it is so much of just a kid playing with toys. And I think that's another thing that was just done so well in the movie was being true to Legos. Like you have it. Did you play with Legos a lot as a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Cause we have that similarity, but not only the animation like stayed true to Legos, because it was literally all just Legos. No piece like bent as it wasn't supposed to. They stayed hinged to the bodies and like everything worked as they do in real life. But also like the fact that the theme of the movie was about going off of instructions,
mm-hmm.
and also like in that versus like being creative and being individual was so cool. That like they tailor their days to an instruction manual, just like you buy a Lego set and you like build it based off of the instruction manual. And like Lego, the Dutch word, I think means like play well. And like their whole motto and their whole like brand is like, you can take these sets home and build these cool sets that we made up for you. You can also like go on Instagram and look at the crazy things that people have built without mm-hmm. an instruction manual. And then they post their own instruction manual online and say, hey, go home and build this.
Mm.
And like the fact, it's such a cool world. And the fact that like they nailed that so well in the movie, like, and keeping that a part of the story and the theme, like really just well done. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. Because again, there's like a bunch of Lego movies I saw as a kid, had nothing to do with Legos. It was just a Superman movie, but they were Legos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just an adventure movie, but they were Legos. And this was a Lego movie about Legos, about character, about
imagination
and being individual and teamwork, and also about building Legos,
mm-hmm.
which it's so good. Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah. It's interesting, like, kind of going off what you said, like I remember as a kid, you know, there was just like this huge tub of Legos,
yeah.
and it was literally just like scattered, although you never step in it because that's like the most torturous thing in the world. Stepping on Legos. But like, you know, you just crack it open and literally just like start building, even if it doesn't like mean anything or make anything. It's just like making a super long stick and using it as like a sword or something,
you know,
something stupid like that. Or like making just like a flat bed and adding some like chairs to it and be like, oh, it's a spaceship, you know?
Right.
And spaceship. and
I laughed so hard at that. It was so stupid.
I know.
Just a guy screaming spaceship, which is so funny.
Good old Charlie Day, man.
Yeah.
And you know, like I know like at your apartment you have Lego something like
the equivalent of Legos. It's a Japanese version, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, I thought you had like an Empire State Building or something.
Yeah, yeah, I have the Brooklyn Bridge, which is NanoBlock, which is like a Japanese brand.
Yeah.
And but same thing, like, yeah.
It's interesting that like almost like as you grow older, you almost have more of a liking, I guess, a liking for, you know, I'm going to buy the set and let's say the set is like a replica of the Empire State Building or whatever.
Sure.
And you're like, wow, this might look cool on my shelf that's New York City themed or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you like follow the instructions and then you just set it on the shelf and do that. Whereas, you know, as a kid, you just open up the tub and, you know, go at it, whatever. And I'm, you know, it's interesting for me to think about that when that theme is directly in the thing.
Where the dad wants
to. Where the dad is like, oh, yeah, like, this is, you know, it sits in the basement. It looks nice.
Don't touch it. My kids better not touch this.
Right. And
the kid comes down and just wants to play.
Yeah. So super interesting to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, now I'm just thinking about Legos.
I know.
I've always thought this thing where it's like, if I, when I get out of college and I make money, it's like, I'm going to have trouble just not buying Legos. Because right now, it's like, I don't have a ton of money to just throw around at Legos because they're not cheap. And so, but I always fear it's like, when I have money to spend, I better not buy a bunch of Legos.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to toss out there really quickly while I was thinking about it. Lego Movie, you had to pay for it on Amazon Prime, but I found out that you can do a 7-day free trial of AMC Plus, watch it for free,
okay,
and then cancel the subscription. That's what I did. So if you want to, you know, if you were stopped from watching it or something, you can get the trial or, and just cancel it when you're finished, excuse me, and watch it for free. So.
And if you have YouTube TV, it's free.
Okay, sorry. Not everyone
no,
has.
No, no. I just want to throw that out because I also,
what even
while,
is
think, while I'm thinking about it, I'll say this is I know that my family has YouTube TV, so to mom and dad, I know this is a kid's movie. One of my parents may have seen it. Who did I see it in theaters with? But anyway, I encourage my parents to watch it, maybe rewatch it, because you might just find it so stupid that it's funny. And it's not stupid funny in the same way that a lot of things are stupid funny, where it's just like you're annoyed at how stupid it is. This was like the perfect amount, I think.
Yeah. It's weird because last night I was like kind of in a weird mood and like I wasn't like super, you know, I wasn't like super amped because it was like a great day or whatever. It was just like a neutral
100%
feeling
for me as well.
And when I was watching the film, like it definitely like changed my mood because there were so many points where it was stupid funny. You know,
and then it gets super heartwarming.
It does, yeah. It ends up being like a feel good film.
Yeah,
which is interesting.
Yeah. And one thing that is unfortunate is that the sequel is not very good.
I didn't know there was a sequel.
Yeah, the Lego Movie 2 came out, and it just wasn't very good.
That's not it.
I'm not going to talk about it. I don't like to think about it because of how good the first one is. And, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you, the piece of resistance is, you know,
the cap.
It's the cap to a crazy glue. Did you know that the first time you saw it?
You know, honestly, when I saw it, like, sitting at the bottom or whatever, I thought it was a red Lego block.
So did I.
Because I forgot, you know, what the Kraggle was or whatever, just because I hadn't seen it in a while. And then I think I remember, like, the film doesn't necessarily connect right away that what he has on his back
it's
is
information
the cap
before
to the
explanation.
Crazy glue. But, like, I figured out the first time that I saw the Kraggle, I was like, oh, the thing on Emmett's back is the cap to the crazy glue.
I remember the first time I watched it, I just thought it was a Lego brick the whole time. And it's an unusually oblong Lego brick.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, oh, I guess that's just a Lego brick. Because again, everything's photorealistic. No, I think the first time I didn't realize that Vitruvius is holding a lollipop stick.
I know.
It's like he's holding a chewed up lollipop as his staff. It's super funny. And it's like stuff like that. So I just thought it was super interesting that he's literally holding a crazy glue cap. And like that, like it's not revealed that that's it until he tries to put it on the crazy glue. And you can connect the dots. And this time I watched and I did. And like you said, but I remember the first time not knowing that. And that is like the information before explanation that we saw on like Dial M for Murder and a bit in Uncut Gems as well. And there wasn't a whole lot of that in this movie, but that was, one thing. Yeah.
I did want to talk about just the cast.
Yeah.
Just how great it was. I just wanted to gauge, you know, who your like top three favorite characters were.
Okay. Emmett. Emmett Brockowski, the main character, voiced by Chris Pratt, was I think number one for me. His voice acting is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And like a few of the line deliveries, like when he's sad especially, is so well done.
Mm-hmm.
Just it's all so good.
It's a weird sensation because, like, really you're just sitting there listening to them talk.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the way any animation is.
But when you recognize their voices,
yeah,
when you really put them to it, it's like, oh, yeah.
I'm just, like, in a room with Chris Pratt. And
yeah,
he's,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
reading a script or whatever.
literally a room like this, probably.
Yeah.
Let me think. Vitruvius, Morgan Freeman's character is so funny.
Super good.
He comes back as the ghost tied to a string. I died. So good. That was before I say my third, that was like one of the things that was so funny about like in the Wild West when they're being chased by the robots, you just keep hearing yeah yeah yeah. It's like Wild West music. It's so funny.
Also with Morgan Freeman's character, whenever they were going through the plan for the thing, and they were like, all right, Vitruvius, you're on lookout. And then it just pans out and he's just like looking directly at a wall because he's blind and he has no
he's
idea.
Like, okay. It's so funny. His character is really good. Third favorite character. I think Wildstyle was really good. Elizabeth Banks did her voice. I love Benny, the astronaut, voiced by Charlie Day.
Yeah.
Gosh, who am I forgetting? Am I forgetting any big characters? And Will Ferrell was great as President Business as well. Oh, I love Good Cop, Bad Cop. Liam Neeson was, I think, a really fun character as well. Like, every character is so distinct and so well done. And
hey, buddy.
Yeah. How about you? What were your three favorite?
Yeah, I would say, honestly, my favorite was probably Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Just, like, did such a great job. I also just love the chair motif. Like, just him, like, throwing and kicking chairs all the time. And, like, whenever Emmett and Wildstyle escape through the tunnel or whatever, literally one of the robot cops, like, just, like, walks into the frame, sets down a chair, and he walks over to it and kicks it. I was like, that is so funny. Like, And there was another part. Oh, like, right before that, he just, like, walks directly up to the camera and he goes darn 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 darny darn which is just awesome. Love Liam Neeson in that. I would say Batman, super good.
Will Arnett,
I really loved him with the Millennium Falcon. That little bit, that was super good. And I would say super minor character, but I really love Green Lantern, like I mentioned. Jonah Hill, just like
pestering Superman.
Just the idea of him being like annoying to Superman and like following Superman around, and Superman's like, oh, actually, I gotta go do something. Just super, super funny.
Yeah,
it's amazing how star-studded the cast is. Like,
it's huge,
and it was super fun to, you know, be introduced to characters and try and figure out who it was. That was fun as well.
Right, absolutely.
Like, Metalbeard is I'm forgetting his name. Parks and Rec guy.
Adam Scott?
No.
Wow.
Someone's going to be mad that we don't remember this.
I don't even know. I can't even, because it's clearly like a voice that they're putting on, so it doesn't sound like the person.
That's true. That's true.
What was I going to say about the characters?
It was Nick Offerman.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, like, I could tell that was him, and Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum, I could tell that
Superman
that was them.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson was a given.
Right. Even and Chris Pratt, given.
Yeah. I also thought it was cool that they had, like, the original Lando in the film.
Yeah.
The guy that played Lando, and C-3PO.
Oh, Alison Brie was Unikitty.
Alison Brie.
That was a really funny part. That was a really cool part.
Yeah.
One thing also, the inspiration that like was sprinkled throughout the movie was really funny. Like, the Wild West was obviously influenced by like old Western movies, but then also like there were several like chase scenes in vehicles where like there were cockpit shots from like Star Wars.
Yeah,
where it was very clearly like straight inspiration from Star Wars. And that's a quick note, but like the inspiration from other movies was definitely there. Definitely there.
Yeah. I don't know that I have much else to say. I mean, overall,
either.
Super, super solid film.
I would encourage you guys to watch it. And if you're not like that into animated movies, think about getting into them. And this is a good place to start, I think.
Yeah. Just want to wrap up with just like the themes. You know, it's super inspiring, especially to like a kid, I would say.
Yeah.
Super inspiring. You know, everyone's special. Imagination is like You know, that's like an important thing when, I mean, not just with Legos, but just in general.
Having
imagination. Creative problem solving. That was a big thing, just with the Master Builder thing. And then, you know, the quote from the incredible song, everything is awesome and everything is cool when you're part of a team.
That's the other thing was that song started playing and I was like, oh my gosh, this song was huge at the time this came out. It's actually a good song, which was funny.
Yeah, it's like catchy, but then like towards the end of the film, I was like, okay, that's enough.
It was actually kind of fun. And so, yeah, I guess that's about it.
Yeah.
A little shorter of a conversation, but that's okay.
Yeah. We didn't really have that many critiques of it. I mean, I don't know that it was a super, you know, obviously it's not like a, like an Uncut Gems where there's like, you know, actual, you know, cinema things to talk about and like,
but
likes and dislikes. Like, I think we can both agree that the Lego Movie, you know, super beautifully done, attention to details.
The
great.
Animation's perfection.
It's great. And you know, we both loved it. So there's not really anything to dislike and talk about, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely. Aiden, do you have a movie?
I have picked one.
Okay.
I went through my list. We have a shared note. And normally I like to consult with Michael because I tend to like more, you know, just like, I don't know. Like, even if it is
not
like,
going to say anything,
even if it's bad, you know, like I think last time I tried to pick like Moneyball and that's like
that's a great movie.
It is a good film. I'll change that. I was choosing between Moneyball and Apollo 13. And Apollo 13 is kind of just like a, you know, I wouldn't say that it's like a cinematic masterpiece.
Oh, I think it's pretty up. It's good.
No, yeah, it's good. Yeah. But I would say it's more of like, I don't want to say like fan service because I say that too much. And
maybe it's somewhere in the middle.
Not describing what I'm going for. But like, you know, I like to ask Michael's input because I don't want to just straight up pick a film that's like terrible.
No,
but
man,
it's
if,
like,
if you,
but I'm going for it. I'm just gonna
do it.
I'm just gonna spit it out. Okay.
Here's my raw reaction.
Okay. I'm pretty sure we've talked about this one before, and I don't know if you've seen it or not, but we're just gonna go for it. I am picking the 2016 sci-fi thriller Arrival, starring Amy Adams,
Jeremy Renner, Forest Whitaker. That's a really good movie.
Sweet. Okay. I haven't seen it before,
but it's interesting. There's gonna be a lot to talk about.
Have you seen it?
I have.
Okay. I have not seen it. Man, I feel like you've seen everything.
Not everything, but I think I've seen a lot. But like, I'm glad this is gonna be fun.
Yeah, I was actually I was hanging out with JR and Betty. Shout out JR and Betty. And Betty just like out of nowhere was like, "Have you seen Arrival?" I was like, "No, I haven't. I've been wanting to watch it though." And she was like, "Yeah, me and JR just watched it the other night. Super good." And I was like, "All right, I'm gonna pick it."
yeah, Denny Villeneuve.
I've been influenced.
Is really good. His movies are great. He did Prisoners, Blade Runner 2049, lots of others, and he's really fantastic.
Nothing like a good old alien film, you know what I'm saying?
And absolutely, and it's a very different alien film.
Yeah,
for sure.
So yeah, everyone, thank you so much. Oh, sorry, I forgot to tell you, Arrival is on Amazon Prime,
and awesome.
It is free, I'm pretty sure, without subscription.
Awesome. I think that's true. I watched it for free recently.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have to have an Amazon Prime account to watch?
You do have to have Prime.
Okay.
But
so if you have Prime, it is free. If you do not, I'm pretty sure like almost every person in America has Prime by now, but
it's taking over. Yeah, it's too late.
It is
There's no turning back now.
Yeah. But yeah, everyone, thank you so much for listening. I hope that the new sound studio, you know, yields really good quality.
And if this just wasn't recording us this whole time,
we're just running it back. I let us know what you think. Again, I'll drop a comment box on the Instagram, and we can get some input on the Lego Movie, on quality, on, you know, what you think of season 4 so far. And continue to share and
Thank you so much for listening to last week's episode.
Yeah.
And I hope you enjoy this week's episode. Please watch the Lego Movie. It's an hour and a half. It's an easy watch and it's a really fun watch. So yeah. Thank you so much and we'll be back next week.
Maybe in a sound studio, maybe not. We'll see.
We'll find out. Later, guys.
Peace.